Well, there's enough preaching in that song, amen. We might be able to go home, but I won't keep you for much longer. Let's turn to our theme verse this morning for our message. Now, I know it's hot. I'm watching the time. And we're just going to touch upon our theme this morning, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Thank you for being faithful to the house of God. And I trust you're excited for what the Lord has for us in 2016. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Let's read this verse aloud together on two. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. On two. One, two. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that our hearts would not be stirred with emotion, but would be stirred with faith. That, Lord, we would desire you in a greater way. Lord, we need your help to draw us closer this morning. We pray that you bless our hearts' intention to draw nigh to thee. We claim the promise of your word that you will draw nigh to us. And that, Lord, you would pour out upon us abundantly, Lord, your grace to help in a time of need. And Lord, we are a needy people. And Lord, we live in a needy day. Lord, help us to see our greatest need is thee. Help us, Lord, to rely on you more than ever before. And teach us, Lord, how to do that through your word this morning, through the weeks to come. Help us, dear God, to live by faith. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As I was doing a little bit of research online, as you would know, Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world, technically, from sea level. It's about, if I look at my notes, 8,848 meters above sea level. There are many tall mountains in the world, of course. But Everest, as you know, has become popular because of all the people that have sought the thrill and the accolade of reaching the top of the world. And that has been the goal for many. As I was looking online, I realized that that goal for many has come at a great cost. Up to 2012, just a few years ago, the death count on Mount Everest was up to 228 lives. One of the reasons why that climb is so dangerous, I read online, is that because above 8,000 meters, the air is so thin, it only contains a third of the oxygen that's required for you and I to breathe. Only a third. And the lack of oxygen causes one to lose their breath. And it gets worse from there. As I was looking and doing some research about the effect of the lack of oxygen to breathe, first of all, it causes the slowing down of the mind. You're not able to think properly. And also it can cause the loss of vision. You're not able to see properly. It slows down your body movements, the lack of oxygen. Then you can lose consciousness. Ultimately, brain damage will set in and consequently, death. And sadly, hundreds of lives have been lost on this mountain that I question whether man was ever meant to climb Mount Everest. Now, I shared that little illustration to say this. Just like man was not meant to live without oxygen, God has created us as Christians never to live without faith. You see, faith is our necessary oxygen. Faith is our necessary air. It is what allows us, you and I, as Christians, to live and breathe in Jesus Christ. You see, the moment you repented of your sins and you personally received Christ as your Savior, God reconstructed us from the inside. And all God's people said, amen. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within. We were regenerated from above. The Lord tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And we are designed no longer to live by our own thoughts, our own ways, our own foolish wisdom that was leading us to eternal hellfire. Now God has designed us and created us in Christ Jesus to live by faith alone. You see, faith is our necessary air. Have you ever swum underwater and tried to hold your breath? And see how long that lasts. Doesn't last very long. Why? Because we need air to breathe. And as Christians, so often we forget. Faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how God has made us. That's the only way you and I can live the Christian life. My friends, when you and I choose to live by faith, we can climb mountains that we thought were impossible. And I'm not talking about foolish things like Mount Everest, amen? I'm talking about the supernatural. I'm talking about impossible heights that you and I don't think are possible in our lives. But yet when we put our faith in the God of the impossible, He can lift us up to new heights. Faith in Christ is a mountain-moving faith, amen? Faith is the only way to live as a Christian. The just shall live by faith. And my friends, we need to be stirred in our hearts that we cannot, let me emphasize this, we cannot live without faith. How many of you are like me, and when you live by fear, and when you live by anxiety, and when you live by worry, you find yourself gasping for breath? Amen? That's because we lack the necessary oxygen. We're taking in everything else in life. Amen. That includes me. We're taking everything else in life except our necessary air. Faith. Living by faith. Unbelief and doubt in your life and mine weakens our soul, and then consequently it weakens our bodies, and ultimately it leads to collapse in the Christian life. My friends, this is a wonderful thing, but it's a serious thing. God has ordained in His Word that the just shall live by faith. By way of introduction this morning, let me encourage you, church family. This is a theme for you. What are your spiritual goals in 2016? Praise God, we have one this morning, amen? To live by faith. To allow God to teach us how to do that. To allow God to help us in the life of faith. I trust you'll take up the challenge this morning and make a commitment this morning to live by faith in 2016. Now, as we begin to explore this subject this morning, let's be honest and understand that the word faith is so often misused, misunderstood, and abused in the world today. How many of you have ever heard someone say, "I believe in myself, I have faith in myself"? How many of you have ever heard that before? Many people in the world say that today. They say, "Well, look, you have faith in Christ, I have faith in myself. I believe in myself." What are they saying? They're saying that they hope everything will turn out all right. But what they're saying is, "I wish it will." They don't know whether it will or it won't. They don't have any foundational basis for their faith. It's really an empty wish. But my friends, let me encourage you this morning, biblical faith has a foundation. Amen? Biblical faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Sometimes even as Christians we say, "Look, I'm going this way by faith," but really we don't know why we're headed that way. We have no reason to go that way. We are just hoping, like the world, everything will turn out, rather than you and I living by faith. It's not a blind leap in the dark. And faith also is not something abstract. God wants us to understand what living by faith is. Amen? Right. If that's how we're to live, God doesn't want us to misunderstand what He's saying. It's not abstract. Faith has a foundation and it has a beginning. This morning, for a moment, let's look at the beginning of faith. And I believe if we understand the first large letter on the banner, we will understand where faith begins. Do you notice in your Bibles, verse number 38, the word just? Now the just shall live by faith. These are the only ones, the Bible says, in fact, can live by faith. Now what does the word just means. As we look at it this morning, you might be thinking, I don't know what that means. What does it mean? Well, interestingly, the word just is a legal term. Imagine if you were accused of a crime, brought before a judge, he examined the evidence, he slammed his gavel down, and he said, this man is just. He would be declaring you innocent. That's what the word means, to be legally innocent. In fact, it means to be holy. It means to be righteous. That's where we get the word righteous from. Just. That's what the word means. Now, as we quickly understand this word, I'm sure you've come to the conclusion that is not a description of you and I. Because God has given His word to us, and He has declared us not just, but unjust. In our natural selves, my friends, we are unjust. We are sinners. We are condemned. And God is the just one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, please. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Notice verse 23. What does the Bible say? Let's read it together out loud. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. 1, 2. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, in God's court, in His courtroom of law, God has declared the sentence already. He has examined the evidence, my friend, against you and I. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each one of us in this room are condemned before a holy God because we are sinners. We have broken God's laws. We have offended God with every sin we have ever committed. God has seen the lies in your life, my friend. God has seen the lust in our heart, my friend. God has seen the rebellious heart that you and I have. And our condemnation is from God that we have all sinned. And the sentence has been given. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That is the punishment that you and I deserve. The payment for sin is death. And if we go over to Revelation chapter number 20, we see that the final sentence that will be handed out at the great white judgment throne, the judgment seat of the just one, God Almighty, the judgment that will be delivered out is separation forever from God in a place called the lake of fire. You might say, Pastor, why is hell fire so bad? It's because, my friends, our sins are so bad in the sight of a holy God. You see, God is just. He is the just one. He is the all-holy one. He is the perfect one. And we are not. We are condemned before a holy God. My friends, we are unjust. You might say, Pastor, that's terrible news. Well, that's the reality, my friends. We need to understand that before we can go any further. We deserve God's greatest judgment and the entire wrath of God poured out upon us because we have rebelled against God so greatly that we have offended Him. And we are separated from God by our sins. But, thank God for the word but, amen? For the wages of sin is death, but God has made a way for condemned sinners like you and I to be legally declared innocent in the sight of a holy God. Now, are you still in Romans chapter 3? Now, we've seen verse 23. Come with me to the next verse, verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. What does the Bible say? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Can you see here this morning, my friends, that yes, we are unjust. Yes, we are condemned. Yes, we deserve the wrath of God forever in the lake of fire. But God in His love says we can be justified. Amen. How can that possibly happen? How is that possible? What does the Bible say? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. My friends, the good news for you and I this morning is that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this old, wicked, sin-cursed earth, and He came for one reason alone. The Bible says, He said Himself, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and I, my friends. And then when He went to the old rugged cross, there He was stretched out between heaven and earth, and on that cross, He shed His holy, sinless, just, righteous, perfect blood to pay in full for your sins and mine. The just one died for the unjust. And on that cross, my friends, when Christ breathed His last breath, He declared those victorious words, "It is finished." Church family, what does that mean? Paid in full, complete, done. And on the third day, Christ triumphantly rose again from the day. Listen, from the dead. Listen carefully. And when Christ paid for our sins with His precious blood in the courtroom of God, the judge that has declared us deemed worthy of judgment has declared that Christ's payment satisfies the wrath and the judgment that you and I deserve for our sins. Christ has paid for our sins. He is the just one. He is the one who has paid the penalty. So if you and I repent of our sins and we simply put our faith in Christ as salvation, miraculously and suddenly and instantly, His blood is applied to our soul, and forever we are seen through the blood of Jesus Christ in the sight of God as no longer being unjust, but being completely innocent through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, that is what Christ has done for us. Now be careful, because just as the word faith is misunderstood in the world, this idea of forgiveness and justification is also misunderstood. Most people in the world today think that they can do good works in order to justify themselves to God, in order to somehow bridge the impossible gap to get to God. But that's not possible. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Notice what verse 24 says. Being justified, what's the next word? Freely. My friends, if the gift of God is the free gift of eternal life, we cannot do anything to earn it. We cannot do anything to come to God. We cannot do anything worthy to earn that salvation. It's free. We can't do any religious works to earn it. If it's free, then it's a gift. If it's a reward, then it must be earned. Let me say that again. If it's free, then it's a gift. We simply need to receive. If it's a reward, then we need to earn it. Freely given, my friends. Justification, forgiveness through the blood of Christ is free. That means, my friends, your baptism will do nothing for your salvation. That means taking the Lord's table tonight won't get you any closer to heaven, my friend. That means becoming a member of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church will not get you anywhere when it comes to justification. You see, it's free. It's free. Continue with me to verse 28. Are you still with me this morning?
Amen.
Verse number 28. Look with me in your Bibles, please. If you don't, you'll be putting your faith in the wrong thing. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The Bible says we are justified how? By faith. By faith alone. By grace are you saved through faith. What is faith? What is faith? Well, everyone's sitting down this morning. Now, some of you have heard this illustration before. Those of you in our soul-winning class, you and I are, well, you are sitting and I'm going to sit for a moment. Now, here's a question. As we are seated on these chairs, are we putting our complete faith and trust in these chairs to keep us sitting from falling? Are we putting our complete trust in these chairs to keep us upright? Yes or no? Who thinks yes? A few? Okay, you may be scared about the answer. What will happen? All right. Now, If the chair leg begins to buckle, what will you and I naturally do? Stand to our feet. My friends, our feet are still on the ground. Technically, we are not putting our complete trust in the chair to hold us, to keep us from falling. Now, entertain me for a moment, and I'll join you. Lift your feet up in the air, everyone. My friends, now we are trusting in that chair to hold us. You see, faith is not a half commitment. Faith is not trusting halfway. Faith is trusting fully. You see, if the chair breaks, and it might, if the chair breaks, I will fall. But I'm not trusting in anything else. I'm not trusting in my religion to get me into heaven. I'm not trusting my prayer to miraculously save me. I'm not trusting in the preacher that says, come and pray with me to get saved. I'm not trusting in his word. Faith in Christ is faith in Christ alone. That's how you and I are saved. And it's not complicated. Jesus Christ said that the children can be saved because their faith is so often less complicated than yours and mine. Because they're not willing to doubt. They're willing to simply and innocently trust Christ alone. And the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Let me ask you this morning, when was the point in your life, the life-changing moment, when you repented of your sins, when you believed the Word of God that we've seen this morning, that we are all sinners, we all deserve the wrath of God? When was the time that you repented in godly sorrow and turned to Jesus Christ and simply called out to Him by faith and believed, yes, Christ died for my sins. Yes, He paid for my sins. And He rose again on the third day. And you called out to Christ to save you once and for all. Has there been that moment in your life, my friend, when you put your full faith and confidence in Christ as your personal Savior from sin? I'm afraid there may be some of you this morning that are still trusting in something else. Maybe when you received Christ, you weren't sure, would He really save you or not? My friends, that's not faith. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. Maybe this morning you still had some doubts in your heart, and maybe you still do, as to whether what you believe. Maybe you don't fully believe in the Son of God and His Word. Maybe you're still coming to that point. Let me encourage you, make that decision today to believe in Christ, because it's not by facts, it's by faith in the Word of God, what we've seen this morning. Faith. Maybe this morning your faith has been placed in your baptism, and that's what you come back to continuously. My friends, that is not a step of faith. That's a step of obedience, baptism. Baptism is a step of obedience. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. It's got nothing to do with salvation, my friends. When you and I realize we are sinners, only Christ can save us. Only He is the one that paid the penalty for our sins. And our confidence is not in our faith, but is in the Savior who saved us. Amen. Our simple trust is in the Lord. And Christ guarantees that in that very moment, you are forgiven forever, justified, made blameless, innocent, holy, just in the sight of our living God. I know many of you have heard that before, but perhaps there's some of you this morning that need to be saved. Now, if you are born-again Christians, I trust you haven't been complaining in hearing about all these wonderful truths, because, my friends, every time we come into church this year, every time we see the Word of God this year, every time we see the word just highlighted, enlarged, declared on the banner, that ought to cause you and I to rejoice. Amen. To jump for joy, amen? That I am one of those just ones. Amen. That I have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That me as a condemned sinner, I don't deserve to be seen as just in the sight of God. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. That's what the word just ought to do in your heart and mine. Thank God for His love. Thank God that He saved sinners like you and I. Praise God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we are justified and under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's the beginning of faith. You can't have faith until you're justified, until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we use the word faith flippantly. You might say here this morning, Pastor, I've always had faith in God. Well, technically, that's not true. The just shall live by faith. God may have been bringing you to a point to put your faith in Christ alone for salvation. But before that, there was a whole bunch of unbelief. The question is, are you still there? Or have you trusted in Christ alone for salvation? Or are you still holding on to the strings of religion? My friends, those strings will break when you put your weight and trust in them. Trust in Christ alone. Thank God. Now that is the beginning of faith. But here's the point this morning. We are to begin by faith. And notice what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 28. Let's go back there. Hebrews 10:38. Excuse me. We are not only to begin by faith, by being justified. We are to live by faith. We are to live by faith. You see, not only are we to put our confidence and full trust in Christ alone for salvation, listen carefully, because you might miss the simplicity of faith. Not only are we meant to put our confidence in Christ for salvation and our trust in Him alone, but that is the very same way we are to live the rest of our Christian lives. We are to be saved by faith, and we are to live by faith. That is the life that God has designed you and I to live. The just shall live by faith. Christian, do you remember the day of your salvation? Do you remember? Do you remember when you put your simple faith in Christ alone to save you? Guess what? That's how the Lord wants you to live the rest of your Christian life. Salvation is complete, amen? But our life has not ended. So what do we do? Now we live by grace through faith. Now we live by faith in the Son of God. We continue to put our trust and our confidence and our assurance in Jesus Christ alone, amen? You might say, Pastor, that sounds simple. The problem is we don't. It is that simple. That's what faith is. Amen? Have a look at the picture below. Standing on the Word of God. If you were saved, you believed the Word of God, you trusted in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your faith in Him to save you, how do we live? The very same way. We trust in Jesus Christ, we believe in His Word, and when God says it, we do it, we act upon it, and we trust that God will fulfill it just as He promised. That's what faith is. It's not complicated. It's not complicated, friends. Church family, beloved, it's not complicated. The life of faith. Jesus Christ and His Word. Look, let me put it this way. The day that you got saved and the day that you now live today, there is no difference. There is no difference. Christ is still the same. He's the same foundation. He's the same source of salvation. He's the same source of forgiveness. He's the same source of confidence and joy. The problem is, oftentimes we get saved, we move forward a little bit, and then we start not to live by faith, but we start to live by sight. Absolutely. Now, here's one that I live by oftentimes, by feelings. By feelings. I remember when I was in my first year of Bible college, I had just been saved. At the end of the year, the Lord said, I want you to go to the ministry. I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know what I was doing. The Lord just said, go. So I went. And that first year, as I faced all the spiritual battles of my first year in the Christian life, I was overwhelmed with everything that was happening. Sin came into my life. And suddenly I thought I'd lost my salvation. I was in the first year of Bible college. And I was panicking and thinking, what if people around me find out I'm meant to be training for the ministry and I don't even know that I'm saved? Because sin came back into my life. And I didn't know how to handle it. And I didn't listen to the Word of God. And I went with my feelings, and my feelings told me with absolute assurance that I was lost. I was condemned. I was dead. And I remember panicking, Brother Burton, what am I going to do? How do I handle this? And praise God. One of the classes I was sitting in was a class about spiritual counseling. And the teacher in that class presented the subject of justification. Justification. That when Christ saves us, He does the work of salvation. We are under the blood forever. We are saved once and for all. We can never lose our salvation. And it's not anything that we have done. It's not anything we can do to keep. Christ keeps us saved. Being justified freely, the Bible says, by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And the word of God that I heard that morning, my friends, was like revival in my soul. And I realized, Lord, it's not my sin that offends you so greatly. It's my unbelief and doubt that you haven't kept me saved. That was the offense to God. The unbelief. See, that's what feelings cause us to do. They cause us to forget. Maybe some of you this morning are living by your feelings. Have you ever thought that you have lost your salvation? Let me guarantee you, there's no one in this room that can say they've never experienced that doubt, that question. What do we do? Well, we come back to what the Word of God says, amen? You see, that's how we're to live. Why? Because that's how we were saved. We believed in the Word of God, we put our confidence in Christ and His Word, and He saved us. What do we do? How do we live? Not by feelings, that's our own thoughts. We live by the same confidence in the Word of God. And when we simply open the Scriptures and we read what the Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation," amen, "but is passed from death unto life, living by faith." Maybe you've struggled with that as well, the assurance of salvation. Maybe you're struggling with that this morning. My friends, you need to come back to where your faith first began. Amen. Trusting in Christ and His Word. We live by feelings, don't we? By feelings. What about by fear? By fear. So often you and I are governed by fear, not by faith. We think we're walking by faith, but it's really fear that drives us. I'll share another testimony with you just so you know that I don't know any different. When I was sitting in those pews when I first got saved and pastor preached a fiery message on soul winning, he still does today, he made this statement and it stuck with me. He said, "The only other option to soul winning is disobedience." And I sat there and I was shocked because I wasn't soul winning. I didn't want to go Saturday door knocking. Why? Because I was afraid. I'll just be honest with you. I was afraid. I'd never been before. I didn't know what I would say at the door, and I didn't know how people would respond and what would happen. I was afraid. And so I didn't go. Weeks went past. The soul-winning ministry began and continued, and testimonies were given. People were rejoicing. Even though souls weren't being saved, God's people were rejoicing in the privilege to share the gospel. And I was just sitting there afraid. And I wish I could tell you that God showed me what would happen. And then I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to go do it now that you've shown me." But you see, that's living by sight. And that's not the life of faith. Faith is believing God first, then stepping out, trusting Him, and watching Him do what He said He will do. What do we do about this fear about soul winning? What would we do about this fear about not going door knocking? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, please. We put our confidence in Christ and His Word. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, just because you go soul winning doesn't mean that fear disappears. Remember, we're to live by faith. Not to make one faith decision once upon a time. No. Live by faith. How can we live by faith as soul winners? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Brethren, God has given us a wonderful promise in the Word of God, that when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes into the world, and He already has, we as Christians, at the point of our salvation, will receive power. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses." That's what God says. Church family, you know what that means? That in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I already have everything we need to knock on a stranger's door, to share the gospel with someone this week, because of the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. You might say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. God will give you the words to say. My friend, if you are saved, you simply need to trust in the Word of God and say, yes, Lord, I believe you have created me in Christ to be a witness. Lord, I'm going to trust in the presence and the wisdom and the grace of the Holy Spirit to give me the ability to be a witness. And then you step out by faith and watch what God will do. You see, we live by fear. That's why we don't see answers to prayer. That's why we don't see answers to our fear. Because God never honors fear, my friends. God never honors feelings. He only honors faith. But when we step out by faith, when we launch out by faith, and we trust in the promises of God, God will honor His Word. And He will bless. Let me encourage you in 2016, church family, to go soul winning. Talking about it is not good enough. Living in fear is not good enough. We need to live by faith. Let me ask you this morning, when you were saved, did you put your fear in Jesus Christ, yes or no? Did you pray not knowing whether He would truly save you, and let's just see what happens? Was that what happened? I trust it wasn't, because that's not faith. Then why do we approach soul winning that way? Why do we approach living the Christian life that way? That maybe God's Word doesn't really mean what He says it will mean. Maybe I'm just one of those individuals that's shy and I don't have an outgoing personality and God can't use me. That is fear. That's living by feelings and not by faith. Now those are just two areas of the Christian life. Just briefly we touched upon. Assurance of salvation. Soul winning. We live by feelings, don't we, most of the time. You can say amen. Are you listening this morning? You can say amen. We live by fear most of the time. You can say amen. You see, I see a lot of people that are alive in front of me this morning, but the question is, are you living? Notice what the Word of God says, the just shall live. Do you know what that means, brethren? That means, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. That means that that is the only way you and I can live in Jesus Christ. The only way. You might say, Pastor, I'm living. Well, if you're not living by faith, you're not living. You're just existing. You're just going from day to day. You're just living out a life that's simply existing. You're not moving forward. You see, our faith is a very special thing. It causes us to move forward in Christ. But if we've stopped moving forward, which direction are we going in? We don't stand still. We're going backwards. We live by fear. We're going backwards. We're going backwards because we started with faith in Christ. And if we're no longer trusting Him the same way for every area of our Christian life, off we go. We cannot lose our salvation, but we're not trusting Him. We're not putting our confidence in Him. We're not trusting in His Word. Can you see what I mean this morning? We don't live by faith most of the time. And I trust that God knows that. And therefore, He's given us a theme to help us this year. To live by faith. To live by His Word. Let me say this. Many of us as Christians, we get saved. And you know what we do? We go back to the old way we used to live. Well, I think that it worked before I was saved, so look, that's the way I'm going to think now. I'm not going to change my mind about it, and I'm just going to make the same decisions, and hopefully it'll work out. Remember what God says about the wisdom of the world. He says it's absolute foolishness. So then why do we go back to living like the way we did before? Well, we're not living by faith. We're trusting in our own selves. We're leaning on our own understanding, brethren. We're not trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. That's so often what we do. We lean on our own understanding. We live by fear and anxiety and worry and panic. We're not trusting in the Word of God. And we wonder why we're like that mountain climber. And we're out of breath. We're slipping. The rope is breaking. We're fading away. We have no strength left. And our Christian life is in a mess because we're not putting our simple confidence in Christ alone. Not the salvation that's dealt with at the cross, but for our everyday Christian life. The just shall live by faith. Now we're going to explore this theme even more this year, amen. This is just a little introduction to get you stirred up, amen. To help you and I to see we need to live by faith. Confidence in Christ. Look, Jesus said, I'm come to give life and life more abundantly. That doesn't mean getting a rock band on the stage, my friends. It means getting saved and enjoying the abundant Christian life. Life more abundantly. What is that life? What does that life look like? The Bible says that life is a life of faith. When you and I live by faith, and only then, that's when the Christian life becomes an adventure, my friends. That's when the Christian life becomes exciting. That's when we hold on to the promises of God and we experience the miracles of God in our life. But if we don't, my friends, if we don't, we go backwards. We go backwards. We are to walk by faith. If God says it, I will believe it. I will walk forward and act upon it and trust that He will do it. That is faith. I say this morning, Pastor, look, I can't live that way. You don't understand my life. You don't understand what I'm going through. I want to believe God, but I'm just at a roadblock, brethren. If you are saved, you can live by faith. Because that's how you started. Amen? You put your faith in Christ. It's as simple as that. Why don't you trust Him now? The just shall live by faith. Are you glad it's that simple this morning? Amen? It's not that complicated. Let me close this morning. Our time is up. Look at verse 38 with me. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now don't tune out now. Just a few more moments. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look, Pastor, I'm not living by faith, but look, that's just the way I live, and I guess that's okay, and nothing is wrong with that. I know it's wrong, but look, I can't do anything about it, and that's just where I'm going to stay. What does the Word of God say? Let God's Word convict our hearts this morning. And my soul shall have no pleasure in Him. Does God's love change? No. Do we always please God? No. No, we don't. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith honors God. Listen very carefully as I close. Unbelief offends God. Now, we don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that because we're comfortable in our unbelief, you see. Because faith makes us uncomfortable. It stretches us, doesn't it? Absolutely. Amen. I'm talking from experience. Continuing experience, by the way. Stretches us. Uncomfortable. But so wonderfully joyful and rewarding to simply trust in Christ. But when we live by fear, by unbelief, we are offending God. Why? Why is it so offensive with God? Let me tell you why, brethren. Because we'll trust in Christ with simplicity of faith for the salvation of our eternal soul, but we will not dare trust in Christ with our bank account. You can say amen. We panic about our money when we've trusted Him for our soul. Can you see how foolish we are? Can we see how wretched we are? We've trusted in Him for the greatest thing in eternity. For the salvation of our very soul. And we won't dare trust in Him with our money. Some of you haven't tithed all year. Don't say amen. Some of you have not even given to missions. Let me tell you why. Because you're not living by faith. You're living by fear. Pastor, if I give my tithe to the church, I'm gonna be out on the street in a year. I won't have any money to give to pay rent. If I give to missions, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have a job right now. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. Pastor, you're living by fear. That's fear. That's unbelief. Faith is trusting in the promises of God that if I give, God will provide for all my needs. Amen. Pastor, you don't understand. If I raise my children according to the Bible and chasten them, and I see their little tears falling from their eyes, and I don't like to see that, Pastor, but I know that's what the Bible says, and I think they're going to hate me. I think they're going to rebel against me. That's living by fear. You're living in unbelief as a parent. God says if you chasten that child, they will grow up to understand the fear of the Lord. And that will teach them that there's a consequence to their sin, and one day, God willing, they will be saved. But if you don't chasten them, you're living in fear and unbelief, and that child will become a child of hell. That's what the Bible says. That's what unbelief does. It has consequences, great consequences. You see, what God says is true. So then why don't we trust Him the same way we trusted Him for our salvation? Let's trust the Lord in 2016. What is God saying in verse number 39 of Hebrews chapter 10? But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, we'll study these verses in depth, but the point is, my friends, if we have received Jesus Christ the Savior to the saving of our soul, we cannot lose our salvation. What is God saying? That's where we need to return back to. That simplicity of childlike confidence and dependence in Christ alone. That's what it means to live by faith. If you're saved, you and I can live by faith in 2016. Now, there's more to it, I know. But for the sake of this morning, let me encourage you to be revived in your hearts that the just shall live by faith the same way you were saved. The same Savior that has saved you will fulfill His promise in the area of your family life, your financial life, your soul winning, of course, the assurance of salvation, everything He says, His plan for your life. But Pastor, God may not lead me the way I want to go. My friends, God's plan is much better than yours and mine. But you follow your way and live in unbelief, and guess how far displeasing God will get you? We'll see that in Hebrews chapter 12, amen. How far will it get you? Not very far. Do you need to return to faith this morning?